Christian greetings, dearly beloved brothers and sisters, in the name of Jesus. Jesus, the one who is the greatest blessing we can thank God for, the greatest blessing. Appreciated the cover of the bulletin. When we're empty, you fill us, and when we're hungry, you feed us. When we're empty, we're in a sense, we're usually hungry when we're empty, and but then we need to realize that God has blessed us so bountifully and wonderfully, and we want in moderation, receive it in moderation, and with thanksgiving and praise. But yes, we are a blessed people. We are blessed beyond measure. I appreciated the devotional that Brother Jay had, and the church. How would we define our church according to what he shared? Our church was established, and we have been coming together for many years. A number of us, of course, our children and grandchildren. Some of the grandchildren don't remember a whole lot of our coming together with the New Boston group. But we have been blessed. And to be thankful and grateful to God for the way that he has watched over us. And brought us together and helped us. I just had to think of Moses' expression, hitherto has the Lord helped us. And I know that we have prayed that God would certainly go with us. If you don't go with us on our journey, what hope have we? He told God, if you don't go with us up, don't take us up there. Talking about the promised land of Canaan. And so we certainly feel with the psalmist, and our heart just goes out. He says, unto thee, O God, will we give praise and adoration. And, you know, our Anabaptist forefathers, actually in Thanksgiving, when we think of Thanksgiving, I think of quite often of the pilgrims when they got here, and when they left the boat, they had a meal of Thanksgiving. They thanked God for their safe journey, and of course, a lot of them did not live to see them dock their boat up here at Plymouth Rock and up in the Northeast. But they arrived and they survived, at least the first portion of them. God blessed their efforts, and they planted their crops. They didn't have a lot of success, and yet they survived. A number of years later, our Anabaptist forefathers took the journey, and this nation was settled for a religious freedom. And it used to be like our thoughts were. I don't know whether this ever was a real Christian nation, but and that's in God's eyes, whatever. But we did appreciate the Christian principles that they stood for and applied. But now we have a president that says this is not a Christian nation. It's all kinds of a nation, a Muslim nation and a Christian nation and whatever you name it. That's what he said it is. Well, we still have a lot to be thankful for. And we want to thank God for the freedom we have. And that's one of the great things that we want to thank God for. And we realize there's, excuse me, a lot of changes being made. And we don't know where it's going to end. But we do know that God is in control. And I didn't really have a title for my message today. I don't know how many of you read the newsletters. Just take time to read the newsletters when they come. Seems like they come quite often. I guess that's why the year has flown by so fast. But we do pray for our government and do thank God for them that we can still come together this morning and worship without any interference with our government. How long will it be that way? We don't know, but God does. And Ludlow Walker, Brothers Ludlow's newsletter, had another, some people say he brings bad news, but he thinks he brings good news. But it is, if we are in Christ Jesus and we are keeping our focus on God and not on the world. But he says in that one little highlight in the Revelations 14, verses 9 through 11, we read of the mark of the beast. And it's the most famous prophecy in the Bible, he says here. Its message is crystal clear. A time is coming. He says very soon. We don't know how soon. But brethren and sisters, young men and young maidens and children and aged men, we need to take heed and really have our focus on the Lord Jesus. Have our heart emptied of these earthly things and focus on heavenly things. He says here, a time is coming very soon when every person on earth will be required to have a mark or a number without which he or she will not be permitted to buy or sell. In practical application, a national ID card or number will be required to hold a job. And of course, if we have no job, there's no money to spend and which to buy or sell. And of course, one more condition of the prophecy is what makes it so evil, actually. He used the word ominous. Each person will have to worship the Antichrist. The Antichrist and his world government in order to have his national ID card or number validated. Worshiping the Antichrist probably refers to some form of pledging allegiance and recognition and so forth. Okay, what do we do about this? How do we feel? We think, oh, well, that's somewhere, somewhere in the future. The world will probably stand for a long time yet and so on and so forth. But I think it's like Brother Jay mentioned this morning in his devotional, we really need to get serious when we seek a church, and we were, and the very other ordinances that he mentioned. We need to really be serious in this stuff and not be so concerned about what kind of a car we're driving or what kind of a truck or what kind of whatever and about money and stuff like that. This will all pass away. This is not eternal. This will all pass away, and we need to focus on the Lord Jesus Christ and have ourselves in him and he in us. Because Jesus himself, you can turn to Matthew chapter 5, just a few readings there in the Sermon on the Mount, Nein Stigere Seligkeit, the blessings that he said here. And he goes on, and I'll just read them all. It says, he opened his mouth and taught them, saying, blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. That is referring to humility, humbling ourselves before Almighty God. And Peter says, he, God, will lift us up. And he said, blessed are they which mourn, that mourn, for they shall be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. We just comment on our Sunday school lessons in Proverbs, the emphasis on wisdom and understanding and knowledge, and the knowledge not necessarily of worldly wisdom, but of godly wisdom, wisdom from above. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the children of God. And blessed are they which are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are ye when men shall revile you and persecute you, and shall say all manner of evil against you falsely for my sake. Rejoice and be exceedingly glad, for great is your reward in heaven. Great is your reward in heaven. Now, these last two of the verses 10 and 11, Jesus was in his prime, if I am allowed to use that term, when he was teaching his disciples. He was just, I don't know how long after this, before this he started preaching, but as the course of Scripture goes in Matthew here, it was soon after he was baptized and started preaching. In chapter 10, verse 16, we read that Jesus was making them aware of some more of this here. In Matthew chapter 10, verse 16. Before that, he was getting these disciples, he was sending them out to do miracles and to preach, and he tells them of the persecution that's going to arise. In verse 16, he says, behold, I send you forth as sheep in the midst of wolves. Be ye therefore wise as serpents and harmless as doves. Now, our ego sometimes is not quite as harmless as doves, depending on situations and circumstances. But we need to have that controlled by the Spirit of God, which is in us. speaking of wolves, do you think there's more wolves in our world today than there was back when Jesus was on this earth? I don't know, but I know there's a lot of wolves in our nation today, in our world, that are trying to destroy the sheep. And some of the wolves are even dressed in sheep's clothing. And so may God help us. But don't, he says, behold, I send you forth in the midst as sheep in the midst of wolves. Be ye therefore wise as serpents and harmless as doves, but beware of men, for they will deliver you up to the councils, and they will scourge you and in their synagogues. And ye shall be brought before governors and kings for my sake, for a testimony against them and the Gentiles. Now, this happened to the disciples. Well, okay, today we are disciples of Christ. And in another place, we might get to that later, where he says, they hated me, and so they will also hate you. And we have an element in our world, in our nation today, that really and truly hates you and I as Christians. They would rather kill us than look at us. And so Is there a chance that you and I will face some of this persecution? We have been blessed, and we thank God for the many, many years that we were blessed with freedom of religion. And in Asia, I don't know whether some of you I know do get the Gospel for Asia newsletters or whatever, and they are really, their churches are being burned and things, they just try to destroy Christians in their country and in various parts of India and other states. So it's happening today. It's just not happened here yet. And so I think we need to think on these things and set our house in order to where the power, and you know, God knows how to protect us through these things, but we must be serious about our Christian walk of life in our world today. Okay, he goes on here, and was it verse 19? But when they deliver you up, take no thought how or what you shall speak, for it shall be given you in that same hour what ye shall speak. For it is not you that speak, but the Spirit of your Father which speaketh in you. And the brothers shall deliver up the brother to death, and the father and the child and the children shall rise up against their parents and cause them to be put to death. And ye shall be hated of all men for my name's sake, but he that endureth to the end shall be saved. And so he talks, that's kind of not very encouraging, is it? But the encouraging thing is that God will be with us through this. And in our time, and that's what I'm trying to encourage each one of us to get into the Word and be more knowledgeable in the Word. Do memory work. We must study now when we face things like this. God will help us through that. And I've been reading, and I got several. I got several of my quotes today out of the Martyr's Mirror of the some of our Anabaptist forefathers that faced that very thing, and they had a faith in God worth dying for. They were like the Apostle Paul. We'll, a little later, we'll hear some more about the Apostle Paul as well. But he said, for me to live is Christ, and to die is gain. And that's how our Anabaptist forefathers looked at things. That's how the apostles looked at it. They thought, this is great. I'm ready to go. And they did not give up. And it's one term today in our lesson. It says, don't turn to the right hand nor to the left. Keep on the straight and narrow way. And so the Lord goes on here, when they persecute you in a city, flee to another. For verily I say unto you, ye shall not have gone over the cities of Israel till the Son of Man be come. The disciple is not above his master, nor the servant above his Lord. It is enough for the disciple that he be as his master, and the servant as his Lord. If they have called the master of the house Beelzebub, how much more shall they call them of his household? But fear them not, therefore, for there is nothing covered that shall not be revealed, and hid that shall not be known. What I tell you in the darkness, that speak in light, and what do you hear in the ear, that preach upon your housetops. And he says further, and fear not them which kill the body, but are not able to kill the soul. No one can touch the soul but the Lord. And he says here, I kind of lost my... But rather fear him which is able to destroy both soul and body in hell. He says, and are there not two sparrows sold for a farthing? And one of them shall not fall on the ground without your Father, but the very hairs of your head are all numbered. Fear ye not, therefore, ye are more of more value than many sparrows. But whosoever therefore shall confess me before men, him will I confess before my Father, which is in heaven. But whosoever shall deny me before men, him shall I also deny before my Father, which is in heaven. And so we have a God that is concerned about us. And we have a God that some people confess. But what, I don't know, some of you, I think, get the Christian Contender. There's a message on the front, and the title of it is, Pastor, I Am a Christian. And he starts in, the writer of it starts in then about how he was parked at somewhere in the parking lot, and a lady was right next to his vehicle. And here come a man with some papers and gave her the papers, and they started arguing, carrying on, and he just couldn't stand it. And finally he got out and he says, why are you doing this? This is not right. The way you're talking and the horrible language they had, said that you can't do this. And he says, I am a pastor of the Lord Jesus Christ. Is there anything I can help you with? And the young man looked at the writer of this article very sternly and says, Pastor, I am a Christian. He says, well, sir, you're certainly not acting like one. And I don't know, I won't relate that, but anyhow, the lady finally tore the papers. It was apparently a divorce issue or whatever. She tore the papers in riddles, and anyhow. But so now what I'm saying is that some people do confess God, confess the Lord Jesus Christ, but they don't act. They're not living that way. What about those? Will he confess those before his Father in heaven? I'm afraid not. If we're not serious in our Christian walk of life. And so I want to turn to John 15, chapter, Gospel of John, chapter 15, verses 18 through 20. He says here, if the world hate you. Well, I should read 17. That we always need this. In chapter 15 of the Gospel of John, verse 17, these things I command you, that ye love one another. That is so important, brethren and sisters. Let us truly love one another. If the world hate you, ye know that it hated me before it hated you. If ye were of the world would love his own. But because ye are not of the world, but I have chosen you out of the world, therefore the world hateth you. Remember the word that I said unto you, the servant is not greater than his Lord. If they have persecuted me, they will also persecute you. If they have kept my sayings, they will also keep yours. So there again, he brings the thought to us that we, in our day and age, this is also for us, not just for the disciples way back several thousand years ago. And so it is necessary that we really and sincerely serve the Lord in all sincerity and in truth. And so, again, he goes on there. We won't read on further for sake of time. But he says that the servant is not greater than the Lord. If they persecuted me, they'll persecute you. And so this time we'll talk a little bit about the Apostle Paul. The Apostle Paul and his We all know the story of his conversion on the Damascus Road, and he thought he was doing what was right. He was taught. He was born in Sicily, in Tarsus, and taught at the feet of Gamaliel. How do you pronounce that? A great teacher. And I don't think there was much in the law that Paul did not know. And he was very strict and was perfect in the law, blameless, he says. But we're going to go to 2 Corinthians chapter 11. 2 Corinthians chapter 11. And here Paul is trying to come across to the Corinthians that in his sincerity and in truth and his interest in the church, and seemingly they were turning against him, and he had such a concern, and I had so many scriptures that I could bring forth that it'd take on till I don't know how long, but Paul was serious about the church. And he wanted the people to be serious about their service. And here he was saying that he couldn't hardly get to the... He says chapter 11, verse 2, or verse 1, God, would to God ye could bear with me a little in my folly, and indeed bear with me, for I am jealous over you with a godly jealousy. For I have espoused you to one husband, that I may present you as a chaste virgin to Christ. Seemingly they were rejecting him and his teaching. And he knew that God had chosen him, a special vessel. When Paul was knocked down by the great light on the Damascus Road, he says, Lord, what wilt thou have me to do? And he told him, well, it'll be told what you need to do. But then he says, he went to Ananias, and Ananias was asked. The Lord told him to go. There's one Saul down there by the street, and he's praying. And Ananias says, oh, Lord, I have heard so many things of this man, how he is persecuting the church, and he even came to this city now with letters that he could take these Christians back to Jerusalem for punishment. And then, of course, God told Paul, or God told Ananias, that he is chosen. He is a chosen vessel to take the gospel to the Gentiles and to the Jews, to Israel. And he says, I will show him how much he must suffer. So Ananias went, and now you know a lot of story on then, how he was let down. He started preaching Christ there at Damascus, and he was let down out of a window in a basket so he could escape. But here he wrote many epistles, many letters. And we are so grateful. God is so good in using Paul. He was Saul, but later Paul. And his abilities, his teaching abilities, his love for the people, and his concern that they would truly serve God. In fact, here he says in verse 3, but I fear lest by any means, as the serpent beguiled Eve through his subtlety, so your minds should be corrupted from the simplicity that is in Christ. For he that cometh, verse 4, for if he that cometh preacheth another Jesus whom we have not preached, or if ye receive another spirit which ye have not received, or another gospel which be ye have not accepted, ye might well bear with him, rather. For I suppose I was not a whit behind the very chiefest apostles. But though I be rude in speech, yet not in knowledge, but we have been thoroughly made manifest among you in all things. If I have committed an offense in abasing myself that ye might be exalted, because I have preached to you the gospel of God freely? He goes on to say that I robbed other churches, taking wages of them to do you service. He traveled so much. In fact, in the Martyr's Mirror, I read that he traveled over 3,000 miles by land and sea just for the sake of the churches that he was establishing, or that he had established through God's the power of God. So he had such a concern for the church. And like he says here, we stand in a time right like that, lest by any means, as the serpent beguiled Eve through his subtlety, so your minds should be corrupt from the simplicity that is in Christ Jesus. May we truly abide in Christ and in the simplicity of Christ Jesus to continue on in our journey of life till God takes us home. But we want to be sincere and truly worship him in sincerity and in truth. Jay asked the question, why did we come here this morning? Well, we came to worship God. And he brought us salvation through faith in Jesus. And so we worship the Holy Father in the name of Jesus. We want to be holy. We want him to make us holy. And we want him to make us righteous, because we have no other source of holiness or righteousness rather than in Jesus Christ, who redeemed us through his precious blood. And Paul just had such a love and concern to share the true gospel. And here these were taking on things that others like we have people today, they think they know better how they need to serve God than the God's word, than God does. They know better what's good for them in their lives than what God does. Well, excuse me. Again, I say he was trying to convince them of his sincerity and his call. And then he gave a brief rundown. I'm going to jump down to verse 21, he was talking, telling them how that, it's foolish the way he's speaking, but he's trying to convince them of his seriousness. I speak, in verse 21, I speak as concerning reproach, as though we had been weak. Howbeit, whereinsoever any is bold, I speak foolishly, I am bold also. In other words, he was trying to convince them of his sincerity and his boldness in preaching the true gospel of Jesus Christ. Earlier in the chapter here, he mentioned something about Satan transforming himself into the angel of light. And I think he's doing that in many, many cases today. In many churches, he's accomplishing groups that leave the church and stuff like that. Now here he is saying in verse 22, are they Hebrews? So am I. Are they Israelites? So am I. Are they the seed of Abraham? So am I. He says, are they ministers of Christ? I speak as a fool. I am more. In labors more abundant, here he's giving a rundown of his sufferings for the sake of Christ. In labors more abundant, in stripes above measure, in prisons more frequent, in deaths oft. Of the Jews, 5 times received I 40 stripes, save one. Thrice I was beaten with rods. Once I was stoned. Thrice I suffered shipwreck. A night and a day I have been in the deep, in journeyings often, in perils of waters, perils of robbers, and perils of by mine own countrymen. in perils of the heathen, in perils of the city, in perils of the wilderness, in perils of the sea, in perils among false brethren, in weariness and painfulness, in watchings often, in hunger and thirst, in fastings often, in cold and nakedness. Beside these things that were without, that which cometh upon me daily, the care of all the churches. Paul had such a concern, and he had churches scattered all over the then known world that he visited. And after his last trip around the churches, he came back, and some prophet was telling him, and he got his girdle and just tied it in knots and said that this is going to happen to whoever owns this thing. This is going to happen to him when he goes to Jerusalem. But Paul tells Timothy that I endure all things for the elect's sake. Paul endured all these sufferings, and truly it came true what God told Ananias. He says, I will show him how much he must suffer for the sake of Christ. In Timothy, 2 Timothy 2:10, he says, I endure all things for the elect's sake, that they may also, notice this now, and this is for us as well, that they may also obtain the salvation which is in Christ Jesus with eternal glory. And the Lord Jesus wants all of us to experience that very thing. In 2 Timothy, I want to Second Timothy 3:12-17. I want to read that. He says here, yea, and all that would live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. Now, when will that happen to us? I don't know. I know a lot of Christians are suffering for the sake of Christ today in other countries. But evil men and seducers, if I can turn this over, shall wax worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. But continue thou in the things which thou hast learned and hast been assured of, knowing of whom thou hast learned them. And then he refers back, and I refer back to our Anabaptist forefathers that stood firmly for the faith, and they'd rather give their lives, rather die than give up or reject Christ. But continue thou in the things which thou hast learned and hast been assured of, knowing of whom thou hast learned them. And he goes back then and says that from a child thou hast known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith, which is in Christ Jesus. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, and for correction and instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. Reminds me of the message from Henry here a couple of weeks ago. And Norman preached on having our face set, having our focus. And I think that is, some of those messages are just so we can really accept, really sincerely serve the Lord and have him in our heart. And say no to the devil, the world, and our own flesh and blood, to where when these times come, we will be able to stand. And in Revelations, I want to turn to Revelations yet. Peter has a number of things. He says also that we should, for as much as Christ suffered for us in the flesh, arm yourselves likewise with the same mind. For he that suffereth in the flesh, he says, hath ceased from sin. But one more revelation verses here in the second chapter of Revelations, the church at Smyrna. Revelation chapter 2, verse 8. And to the angel of the church of Smyrna write, these things saith the first and the last, which was dead and is alive. I know thy works and thy tribulation and poverty, but thou art rich. I know the blasphemy of them which say they are Jews and are not, but are the synagogue of Satan. Fear none of those things which thou shalt suffer. Behold, the devil shall cast some of you in prison, that ye may be tried, and ye shall have tribulation 10 days. Be thou faithful unto death, and I will give thee the crown of life. And I understand that Polycarp was the bishop of the church here in Smyrna. He was a disciple of John, the Apostle John. And I just read in the Martyr's Mirror how Polycarp, they tried to convince him to let go of the faith of Jesus, and he would not. And of course, he was, I forget now whether he was burned or beheaded. But there's also a photo of the Apostle Paul there on his bent on his knees with his hands up in front of him praying. And the executioner, we read, of course, in history that he was beheaded, the Apostle Paul. For me to live is Christ, and to die is gain. That was his desire. And so I want to share with you in closing, as time goes so fast, but anyhow, share with you in closing, the Soviet Union, in time of communist rule, they killed Christians as well. And I remember one man, he was a pastor from Russia that came to our church several times. We, as a church, supported him in some of his efforts. And, of course, that was during this time that this article happened as well. It's entitled, An Extreme Smile. And the verse in Romans 8:18, for I reckon that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. The Soviet officer had beaten Paulus for many hours. We're not going to torture you anymore, he smiled brutally when the Christian looked up. We will send you to Siberia, where the snow never melts. It is a place of great suffering. You and your family will fit in well. Paulus, instead of being depressed, smiled. He said, the whole earth belongs to my Father, Captain. Wherever you send me, I will be on my Father's earth. The captain looked at him sharply. We will take away everything you own. You will need to have a tall ladder, because my treasures are stored in heaven. Paulus still wore his beautiful smile. We will kill you, shouted the captain, now very angry. If you take away my life, my real life of joy will begin, smiled Paulus. I'm not afraid of dying. The captain grabbed Paulus by his tattered shirt and screamed into his face, we won't kill you, we will lock you in a cell and let no one come to see you. You can't do that, said Paulus, smiling. I have a friend who can pass through locked doors and iron bars. No one can separate me from the love of Jesus. We can all have this same master. Despite an uncertain future, we can be sure of one thing. Christ will face it with us if we have humbled ourselves and invited him as captain of our soul. Human companions will fail us at some point. There are places where they cannot walk with us. The waters are too deep, and their understanding would be murky at best. Only Jesus has the ability to pass through iron bars to our suffering hearts to share those difficult times. In his wisdom, Jesus may not remove us from all circumstances or persecution, but his abiding presence will see us through any trial that may arise in our lives. So smile in the midst of your trial, knowing that you have a friend who cannot be separated from you except by your choice. However, Jesus can only be as close as you want him to be. And so Jesus told us not to lay up treasures on earth where moth and rust doth corrupt or thieves break through and steal, but lay up treasures in heaven where neither moth nor rust does corrupt and thieves cannot break through and steal. Thank you for your prayers. Let us kneel for prayer.